1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, familiar verse. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we're to do what? Give thanks, not for problems. It doesn't mean that we're to give thanks. It says, be thankful. I like some of these other translations, the New Living Translation. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. God didn't cause them, but we thank God in the right in the midst of it. He's working. He's working in our behalf, but we've got to give him thanks, right? We've got to give him the thanks. He's not the author of the problem. He came to what? What does the scripture say? He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. The Weymouth New Testament, it says, in every circumstance of life, be thankful, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus respecting you or concerning you. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's look at verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. And then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But first we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. It says, but thanks to who? Be unto God, but thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us the victory, the new living. He gives us victory over sin and death. He amplified, it says, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors. So he's given us the victory. It says, give thanks to him. Give thanks to God who's given us the victory. That's not something that's past. This is not future tense. It says, he giveth us. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean he gave us the victory yet, too, but he giveth us. So we're always in a place of what? Victory. He giveth us the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always. Boy, I like always. Always, not sometimes, maybe sometimes. This says here, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That we give him thanks. It says now we're to give him thanks. Why do we give him thanks? Because it says we're always triumphing in Christ. Hallelujah. Always. That means at all times we're triumphing in Christ. May not look like it in your life, but he says here, give him thanks because you are triumphing. Quiet in here. Hallelujah. We triumph in Christ. Number one, you got born again. That means you got saved. That means you got redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That means in Colossians it says, I've been delivered from what? The power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Just that right there. I'm delivered. I'm triumphing. I'm over the devil. Ephesians says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places far above. That's a whole lot of way. That's way up. Far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We're far above it. So we are triumphing. So we give him thanks for what he's done. We triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. And we always triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Just turn quickly over to Romans chapter 4 and look, let's take a quick look at Abraham. Look what Abraham, he gave thanks. Look at verse 20 and 21. And of course, God called him. In verse 17, he says, I've made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In verse 20, it goes down and it says, he staggered not at what? The promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what? What he had promised, he was what? He was able also to perform. So there's no different. God says you've already been healed. What? We're not to stagger at that promise because he's well able to perform it. We can't heal ourselves. Sometimes we can't. We have a problem doing some things for ourselves. Finding the door to get out in the morning. But he's well able to lead us in life, isn't he? Now, I want to show something. I want to take a moment here and show that thanksgiving to God is giving him glory. Now, let's turn over to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. And this is a familiar story here about the 10 lepers. But what happened? Only one, 10 were healed, but one only came back and did what? Gave him thanks. So let's look at verse 11. It says here, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through what? The midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which did what? They stood afar off. That's because they were lepers. In that society, they weren't to be near anyone because they were unclean. And what did they do? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That word mercy, you could say compassion. Have compassion on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that what? As they went, they were cleansed. So now this is an interesting story. Sometimes here, just think about this society. They weren't supposed to be out in society if you were unclean. And so for them, for Jesus to say, go show yourself to the priests, that meant, you, technically he was saying, you're clean, go show yourselves and have them approve it and, you know, go through the rituals of the law. But they weren't clean at that point. It says, as they went, they were clean. So they were no better in the presence of Jesus when he said, go show yourself to the priests. They were no better. Now you can imagine they probably all look at each other, really? Okay, let's go. Right? And as they went, they were clean. They were cleansed. So they had to go in what? They had to go in faith, major faith. Because now, if you're out in society and you get caught out in society, as a leper, it's a possibility you could get stoned. So here, they had to have faith to go show themselves to the priests. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and what? With a loud voice, he did what? He glorified God. He did what? He glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. So giving thanks is giving glory to God. So that's why, boy, I tell you, when we come in, you say, oh, well, let's give glory to God. Raise your hands and give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank him for all the things that he's done in your life. And it says here, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to take just a moment here, because I sometimes look up words when I'm reading scripture. But listen to this here. This word loud is interesting, and it says, and he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You know, sometimes we think, okay, you know, I think I know what that means. That word in the Greek language is megas, M-E-G-A-S. That means mucho loud. That's what that means. It means megas. Now, the reason I'm taking this so you can get a reference, you know, you can get a reference from the scripture, because that word is used in other scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospels. So you can see that when this said here, he lifted up his voice, he lifted up with a loud voice. I'm not quiet. It says megas. It means great or loud. Listen to these scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but you can write them down if you're writing or if you want to turn quickly. Matthew 2:10. Listen to this. When they, the wise men, saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Megas. They weren't quiet. Those wise men rejoiced with exceeding great megas joy. Isn't that interesting? Listen to this. This is Jesus on the cross. You know, sometimes we think Jesus would... Listen to this. And about the 9th hour, this is Matthew 27:46. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, megas. He's thinking, here he is, he's been nailed to the cross, and he cried with a loud voice, a megas voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't whisper that. He said it so all could hear. Whew. And then it continues in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He raised his voice with a megas voice, a loud voice. Listen to this one. John, this is the last one. There's others. John 11:43. This is Jesus raising Lazarus. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Megas. So you can see here that when this leper came back, he said he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. Well, I guess if you were a leper and you were cleaned and cleansed, you'd be glorifying God in that society. You'd come back and give him thanks with a loud voice, because now you're what? You're cleansed. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So how did the leper glorify God? He gave him what? Thanks. He gave him thanks. Here's another story about Hezekiah. Let's look at this here. 2 Chronicles and verse 32. I'm sorry, chapter 32, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and verse 24 and 25. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 24. It says, "In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord. And he spoke unto him and gave him a sign." Look at verse 25. "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him." "For his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." Look at verse 26. "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself." That'd be a good idea. God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. Yeah. Good to be humble. "Humble himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." So when this says here, Hezekiah rendered not, he didn't give back the thanks. It says he rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. It is good to give thanks to God for the blessings upon our lives. It's just good. It's good to get into a habit and say, "Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you today for waking me up. Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife." You may have nothing to thank, but you say, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you." Because when you render not for the good things that God has done, just the mere fact that he protects us and he cleanses us continually with his blood, that's enough to give him thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. For the protection that he gives us, that's enough to give him thanks. When he directs us so that we don't have accidents and incidences, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need to not just say, "Well, you know, oh, I'm too tired to praise the Lord." Better watch it. Better watch it. Listen to some of these modern translations of 2 Chronicles 32:25. It says, this is the contemporary English version. "But Hezekiah was so proud that he refused to thank the Lord for everything he had done for him." Not good. But he got it together. He humbled himself. And it goes on, it says, "This made the Lord angry, and he punished Hezekiah and the people of Judah and Jerusalem." The Amplified, it says, "But Hezekiah did not make return to the Lord according to the benefit done to him." The Living Bible, "Hezekiah didn't respond with true thanksgiving and praise, for he had become proud." Oh boy. New Living Translation, "Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown to him." You know, when somebody does something kind to you, what do we do? You respond. You don't go, "Yeah." You say what? "Thank you. Thank you." Well, how much more the Lord? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you." Hallelujah. And of course, you know, you can go on and read. Here's the thing. When you look at 2 Chronicles, back up and look at, because we were looking at verse 24, but look at verse 29. When he got it together, right? Look at verse 29. It says here, "Moreover, he provided him" what? "Cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much." Because he humbled himself. Right? And he gave him thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's good, you know, God gives us blessings. We're to do what? Say thank you. Bless other people. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to take a look here. Giving thanks to God is giving him glory. So one thing I wanted to point out here is that we can experience a greater measure of God's glory by developing a habit of thanksgiving and praise to God. Now here, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19 and 20. These are good here. Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about being filled with the Spirit. So one key, this is a key here, to experiencing a greater measure of God's glory is by giving thanks to God. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." Filled with the Spirit. Now the question you may say, well, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what Brother Patrick was doing. He got up, started to do what? Speak a psalm. You could say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Hallelujah. You bless the Lord with a psalm. And it says what? With hymns and spiritual songs. Those could be in English or in other tongues. Either way. Singing and doing what? Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? So how do we get filled with the Spirit? It says speaking to you what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's not quoting the news. That's not sitting and listening to the news and quoting that. It says, no, we're to do what? Speak to ourselves, or as you're going down the road, blessing somebody out. No, it says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Making melody. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Living Bible, it says, don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit, and controlled by him. Talk with each other much about the Lord, quoting psalms and hymns and singing sacred songs, making music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think about this, you know, when you grew up, some of us, not all of us, maybe all of you did, but you may have heard your parents singing a psalm or a hymn, singing something in the house, doing what? Making melody in their heart. And they weren't doing it for you. They were doing it for them. You heard it, right? And that's something that I think that we don't realize how much society has impacted us. That we've got now TVs and stuff that are talking to us. And so our children aren't hearing us thank God. Our children aren't hearing us praise God and sing songs and hymns in the house. And it does what? It begins to create an atmosphere in the house. I'm telling you the truth now. And we need to think about that. Because I'll tell you, some of us, it had an impact on us. We remember our grandmothers and our mothers and fathers singing hymns at home. Some of us learn the hymns that way.
Yes. Yes.
Am I right about that? Absolutely. You know, Brother Hagin said something once. It wasn't about this, but he said, the Lord had instructed him. He said before he passed and went to heaven, he said he instructed him and gave him instructions to have Holy Ghost meetings. Now, he came to RLCC, and he was there for 2 weeks. 14 days, meetings, every day. Meetings in the Holy Ghost, every day. And we saw demonstrations. And he said, the Lord instructed him and said, if the people don't see these demonstrations, they'll be lost in a generation. And that's the same thing with thanking God and praising God in our home. Children won't even know that. What do we thank God for? Because he's good. And they need to hear us say it. God is good, so we praise him. God is good, so we're going to give him thanks. When we sit down at the table, we're going to thank God for this food that's set before us. And the children hear it. Sometimes they just take it for granted. No, yeah, mommy and daddy worked to get it, but God gave us a job, and we're going to thank God for that. We're going to give him thanks today as we break bread.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, I remember when he was holding, Brother Hagin was holding those Holy Ghost meetings, the demonstrations. I spoke with, because I was interacted with their crusade team here and there. And they said that one meeting, I believe he said it was in Birmingham, Alabama, one of those meetings. He said they saw Brother Hagin in the front of the room, and he said, "Woo!" And he was in the back of the room. And I said, those kind of demonstrations, it was like when they said, well, who was it? Paul, they said they found him in Azotus.
Philip.
Yeah, thank you. He was just there. He was translated. And so we heard stories of missionaries that were, during the time when Russia was repressing the people, they're more open now. But back then, when they were really hard on the gospel, they said when they were really cracking down, the people that were ministering were found in another city. See, you can't stop God. You ain't going to stop the gospel. He'll just translate you to another city. This is the God we serve. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at Acts 16. Hallelujah. So how do we get filled with the Spirit? Singing, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Acts 16, this is Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 23, starting in 23. Acts 16. It says, and it came to pass, I'm sorry, verse 23, I'm reading the wrong verse. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In verse 26, and suddenly there was what? A great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. What happened? Right in the middle of their problem, right in the smack dab and being beat and bloody, they were put in stocks, they were thrown in the inner prison, and they prayed. And why would we give thanks? You can just imagine Silas is probably looking at Paul going, look at the mess you got us into. No, they didn't do that. They lifted up praise to God. And what happened? It caused God to do what? Shake the foundations, open the prison doors. Amen. So I tell you, there's something to praising God. Where? Right in our problem. Right in the middle of the problem. Do you want to praise God? No, but giving thanks and praise to God releases your faith in God to do what? Work. Begin to work in your behalf. I remember Brother Hagin telling this story. He said there was a man who was dying. They'd given up on him. This was way back, I think, in the 30s when he was very young. And he said this man had just enough energy to drag himself out. He was in a farm, and he saw this tree in the distance. He said, if I can get there, he said, I'm just going to praise God, and if I die, I die. If I don't, he said, God's going to raise me up. So the guy dragged himself out to the tree, and he said he just began to praise God. For what? He just began to praise God. Give him thanks. They said within a short period of time, they could hear him over a mile away, giving thanks to God. And he got up healed. What did it do? It brought the glory of God on the scene. His thanks and praise brought the glory of God. I mean, think about this. What did God do during those times when he'd send the army out? Who'd he put out front? He put the singers and the musicians. What did he do? He said the wall of Jericho. What did he do? He said on that seventh day, you march around, right? And do what? Shout. It sure caused the walls to come down, didn't it? So I believe the same thing. When we're walking through things, you do what? You give thanks to God. Not for the problem, but God's working in my behalf. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I've done it more than I can think right now. Every time there's a problem, just lift my hands. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for working in my behalf. Does it feel comfortable? No. Does it feel fun? No. Walking through something? No. But I sure don't want to be a Hezekiah and not render to him the thanks for all the good he's done. And I could sit down and reflect on all the good things he's done in my life and delivered me here and delivered me there. I mean, when I just think about it right now, I should have been dead 3 or 4 times. I mean, D-E-A-D, dead. Under the ground, dead. And when I just think about that, I mean, my parents told me, they said, as a baby, they said, you got pneumonia as a baby, you should have died. I mean, it just started right back then. And my parents gave thanks to God for sparing me. And then just as a fool in my young age, hanging out with people, getting in cars, going too fast, I should have been dead. I remember going down Route 17 in Mahwah at 150 miles an hour in a sports car with slicks on it. Hit a patch of water, and we spun all the way down the road. Didn't hit a thing. I mean, just nuts. Goofy stuff. And then even as a saved person, things that I should have been dead for, and he spared me. My God. If I had nothing else to be thankful for, he spared my life. So I can do what? Serve him. Serve people. Be a blessing in this earth. My goodness. We give thanks. Give thanks to God. When I wake up in the morning, grab one eye open and say, thank you, Lord. Yeah, grab that one eye open. Say, yeah, it's morning. Grab it open. And say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's morning. Right? Amen. Glory to God. So I tell you, I have, series of thoughts just on giving thanks to God. And, you know, it takes faith. Just like, you know, all of the things that we've done. It takes faith to give thanks to God in the midst of a trial. It gives thanks. It takes faith to give thanks to God. But I'll tell you, I'd rather go through something any day of the week knowing that God is on my side, working in my behalf, working something out for my good. Hallelujah. Because what we have, the world doesn't have. They're going through life just banging their head up through life, hoping things work out. Not knowing that the God of the universe, who created them, loves them and cares for them. Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And to do what? Be thankful unto him. And do what? Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes it's good. I'll tell you, I've done it not as much, I'll say, as I should. But just listing out, I mean, I have Psalms listed out. Just read them. Just read them. It'll stir your heart up. Because the more you meditate upon the word, the more you talk about the goodness of God, the less you focus on your problems. The less you focus on them. You begin to think about how good God is. And how good he's been to me. How good he's been to your family. How good he's been to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we go through our weeks, you know, leading up in this season, let's give more thanks to God. Make it a habit. You know, we talk about things that become a habit. You know, it takes a good 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 20, 21 days, they say, for something to be a habit. Well, wait, we'll make that a habit. Start to praise him more. Thank him more during the day. Thank you, Lord. So that when things come in your life, you don't start talking about the negative. You talk quickly about how good God is. Thank you, Lord, for working this out. Thank you that you're going to work in the midst of this. And that's the first thing that usually comes out, if you're making a habit of it. But if you're just talking about problems all the time, then when something happens, sometimes that's the first thing that comes out, and it shouldn't be. Should be, thank God for him working. Thank God for healing me. Thank God for filling my cupboards with food. Thank God for filling my bank accounts. Thank God, not just one account, my bank accounts. And we thank God for it. See, as we went, we're healed. As we go, we're healed. As we go, we're blessed. But we've got to give God something to work with. That's what we're talking about. See, the scripture says, When he healed that paralytic man, the power of God was present to heal. And so that man had to do something. So when God says in his word, now give thanks unto God who always causes us to triumph, in God's mind, in the word, he sees every one of us as triumphing. He sees every one of us as prosperous. He sees every one of us as healed. We may not be in that situation in the natural, but he sees us that way. And so what are we supposed to do? Thank him. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for giving me peace. Thank you for working in my family. Thank you for working in my body. Thank you for working in me. Thank you, Lord. If you don't have a great job, begin to thank him for a better job. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Begin to thank him for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stuff going on in your home, begin to thank him for working it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. God is good. Amen. You know, we can look at the negative side of things. We can look at all the things going on in society and say, oh, woe is me, look what's going on. Or we can begin to thank God and begin to thank him for working in our midst. Right? Amen. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, I know Minister Joe has just come back from his home country in Ghana, but there are people there that are going into certain areas and ministering in the Congo, DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. And I mean, these people are hungry for the word, and I got nothing but dirt roads and thatched roofs. And I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't, you know, be blessed or to look down in any way, but I'm saying we have so much. We have so much to be thankful for. Isn't it the truth? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We're so grateful in our hearts. We're so thankful to you for watching over us, watching over our families, watching over our children, watching over our spouses, watching over our property and the things that you've blessed us with. And we take time to just say thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Father, for healing our bodies and giving us strength to do the things you've called us to. Thank you for filling our bank accounts and our things that we have, Father. Thank you for prospering us and putting food on the table. Thank you, Father, for our jobs. Thank you, Father, that as we go about this day, that the angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear and reverence you. So, Father, we thank you that we have angels garrisoned about each one of us, protecting us and watching over us so that we don't dash our foot upon a stone. And we thank you, Lord, today. We're so grateful today for all the many blessings. And Father, use us to bless people. Use us to say a kind word. Use us to interact with people, to reflect the goodness of God. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. I like giving thanks to God. I'm grateful. Very grateful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.